Hello and welcome back. Today, the most solemn day of our church year, commemorates the crucifixion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. An atrocity painful to even contemplate, and yet we call this day Good Friday. How can that be so? Today is good. Today is holy. We fall down in gratitude today because through his suffering, in his unmerited death, Christ offered himself in our place. We are the ones who have sinned. We've turned our backs on God. No matter what we could ever try to do on earth, we could never make up for our transgressions. Not even the saints can earn heaven. Knowing that, but desiring some way to be with us for eternity, God the Father sent his only Son, his only beloved Son, into our broken world. Jesus walked this earth in perfect grace, never retreating from the suffering his Father asked of him, because he loved us. And when the time came, he willingly gave up his life in homage to the Father and in reparation for the sins of the world, for our sins. Because of Jesus' sacrifice on this day, this holy and good day, we have hope in eternal life. Jesus' life was exchanged for ours so that death might not be the end for us. Unworthy as we are, all of our sins have already been laid down at the cross. Truly, praise be to Jesus Christ now and forever. Today, while you are listening to these ugly and painful events, remember that Jesus' love makes them beautiful. He didn't have to do any of it. At any point, he could have walked away, stopped the pain, but he chose to take each step, each agonizing breath, because he loves you.
My daughter, please, please, she's at the point of death. Please, please, just lay your hands on her.
Jesus, oh, Jesus!
My Lord, it is impossible to move in these crowds.
Stay close to Jesus. We need to stay together.
Excuse us, please, let us through. We need to keep moving.
A pain, familiar, but dreaded, stabs my abdomen. And the invisible knife cuts me inside again. My head is light, and the sun off the sea glares in my eyes. But I see him. I waver on the shore. The jolt of each step aggravates my pain. But I know I want to. I have to get to him. My resolve so firm, I speak it aloud. If I but touch his clothes, I shall be healed. If I but touch his clothes, I shall be...
Who has touched my clothes?
His piercing eyes lock onto mine, knowing... I collapse at his feet.
You see how the crowd is pressing upon you? And yet you ask, who touched me?
Daughter.
He crouches down in the chaos and gently lifts my chin so I can gaze in his face.
Your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction.
Each time I relived those moments, I felt it all over again. awake, it was easy to forget how it had felt all those years. His face, though, the reality of his holy face, remained present to me ever since that moment. A gift I'd found greater than his healing. He was the peace I carried once I was free from my affliction.
Veronica! Come, get up! There are piles of linens to be washed. You've overslept.
Yes, yes, I'm coming.
You heard, right?
Yes, they finally seized him.
In the night. Just him. The one they call the Messiah.
Jesus.
Yes, that's the one.
None of his followers, just him. They say the Sanhedrin is handing him over to Pilate.
Pilate? No. No, I have to go.
Veronica! Veronica! Where are you going?
I arrived. Too late? Just in time? Pontius Pilate stood before the crowd simmering with hatred. The lies and selfishness. The evil. In every corner of the Praetorium, that morning made me shudder.
Do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?
Say what you want, Barabbas.
Ask for Barabbas.
Not this one, but Barabbas.
Then what do you want me to do with the man you call the King of the Jews?
Crucify him!
Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!
Why? What evil has he done?
Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!
You heard them.
I collapsed. My breath caught in my chest, stabbing me at the base of my throat. No. No! Closing my eyes, my head swimming with despair and overwhelm, I cried out in prayer. And then, from one distinctly outside me, the words of Isaiah came suddenly to my heart.
See, my servant shall prosper.
He shall be raised high and greatly exalted.
I knew this passage by heart.
He was spurned and avoided by people. A man of suffering, accustomed to infirmity, one of those from whom people hide their faces. Spurned, and we held him in no esteem.
Line by line, the words helped me recover my breath, my footing.
Yet it was our infirmities that he bore, our sufferings that he endured.
Continued on, kneeling alone in the now empty square. Tears silently begin to fall down my stricken and shocked face. But he was pierced for our offenses, crushed for our sins. Upon him was the chastisement that makes us whole. By his stripes, we were healed. I opened my eyes then and looked up at the sun beating down on the stone plaza on me. This is the way. He is the way. He knew. This is his will. This had always been his will. We had all gone astray like sheep, each following his own way. but the Lord laid upon him the guilt of us all. My tormented ears then recognized a sharp, jolting crack that had been reverberating across the city streets and walls for some time. Over and over again, it was the whip. It was my Lord. I knew then I had to go to him. I had to be there with my Savior as he carried my cross. When I found Jesus again, it was all I could do to keep my eyes on him. A crown of thorns had been driven into his head, and his robe clung to his back and sides, soaked through with blood, blackening as it dried. It was his face, though, that I could hardly bear to behold. Dirty and streaked with blood, lips parched and parted for each breath of dry desert air. He was hardly recognizable. His eyes, though, were what pained me so to glimpse. Jesus' eyes betrayed the weight of his exhaustion and anguish. He was a man betrayed by those whom he loved. Without warning, Jesus' bloody feet slipped on the gravel and his weary body could not regain balance under the weight of the cross. He fell hard onto the rocky path, his right shoulder and cheek taking the worst of the blow as dust blew up in his face.
Get up! Keep moving!
Out of the crowd pushed a woman. Before anyone had a chance to register what she was doing, she had knelt at Jesus' side and stooped so her head was on the ground next to his. Her soft, aging hands took his face between them, and she met his gaze with her strength, the strength of a mother who loves her son.
Not afraid.
For a moment, even the guards stopped and imitated the stillness and strength of this woman. Mary kept her eyes and hands on Jesus as she inhaled slowly and deeply, as if the air she could take in could somehow replenish her broken boy. And at the end of her ragged exhale, she tenderly kissed his forehead, as surely she had his whole life. She got up then, deliberately, knowing her son must continue on.
Let's go! Help him up! He's too weak!
Hey, you! Take his cross. He won't make it alone.
They pulled from the crowd a man who looked startled and frightened as he rolled up his sleeves and tightened his sandals for the grueling walk ahead. I was seized by a sudden urge to meet Jesus. He was still struggling back to his feet, tightening his jaw to bear the pain to strengthen up again under the weight of the cross. When I found myself stepping out to meet him. Jesus,
what is she doing?
Foolish woman. She should know her place.
Daughter.
He was the one who had cured me just a few months before, when I reached out and touched his clothes. Before I knew what I was doing, I found myself reaching to the clothes that I had tucked into my waistband that morning at the well. I grasped the linen in both of my shaking hands and reached up to wipe Jesus' holy face. My breath caught again in my throat. He closed his tired eyes as I made my best attempt to comfort him. my dirty clothes incapable of any miracle. They all pushed past me. The horde of soldiers, Jesus and Simon, the man prescribed to help him, bumping my shoulder and startling me out of my brief encounter with my Lord. I watched as, even with Simon's help, Jesus continued to slip and struggle as he made his way towards Golgotha. In somewhat of a daze, I just stood there, still trembling and choking back tears, as the crowd around me followed along the way of the cross. Not too far up the hill, I saw Jesus fall a second time. This time, he was met by women weeping and wailing loudly, crying desperately the way I wanted to. I closed my eyes and instead cried to God. I just couldn't fathom this suffering, this pain, this sacrifice. I waited for words of comfort again, a song or verse to come to my heart, something to help me retrieve my composure again. But no voice came. Still frozen to the spot, I opened my eyes at the grim scene before me. And slowly let them fall down to the linen still clutched in my fists. Slowly, I let each of my fists open to inspect the cloth I had touched to Jesus' face. It was no longer stained and dirty at all. It gleamed bright white, in fact. Impeccable, entirely but for the center. Perfectly imprinted in the middle of the cloth was his face. His holy face. Just as I remembered it from that day when he healed me.
Daughter, daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction.
Not a single blemish or wound present. The likeness was so striking. It was as if a master had crafted it carefully over years. I didn't think I could be more amazed until I noticed, as I carefully inspected the image, I saw that it was printed in nothing less than his precious blood. I must have stood there for quite some time, just beholding his holy face miraculously there on my linens. Eventually, I regained my awareness of my surroundings and resolved to behold my Lord in his sacrifice. A vicious wind whipped across the hilltop at Golgotha. Jesus was crucified there, where he had been stripped and placed beside two criminals in an attempt to humiliate him. Oh, how wretched and hateful were they. I neared the cross but hung back of it. I was just close enough to hear Jesus speak.
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Forgive them? 70 times 7. He had said, of course. I knelt then, as had Mary, Jesus' mother, John, his disciple, and Mary of Magdala. One of those crucified next to Jesus began to taunt.
Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us.
The criminal on his other side defended him.
Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we receive corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.
Jesus then heaved himself up on the cross to gather enough breath to speak again and looked down one final time into the face of his mother.
Woman, behold your son.
Heaving again, he next looked to John.
Behold your mother.
My son. My son. My son.
In giving his beloved disciple to her as a son, Jesus had spoken straight to Mary's maternal heart. John held her close, and she rested right under his chin in his protective embrace. I gathered that they too understood to some extent why Jesus was on the cross. They grasped the purpose of his suffering, but the knowing did not take away the agony for any of us, least of all Jesus' closest friends, nor his mother. It was now midday, and the sun became eclipsed in the sky, casting a darkness over that barren hillside, more eerie than the darkness of any storm or night. It was clear to all that even holding up his own head was a struggle for Christ.
My God! My God! Have you forsaken me?
Look, he's calling Elijah.
My son.
I thirst.
Oh, now the king would like something to drink.
The cruel soldiers took a sponge from beside a jar of vinegar wine and soaked it in the acidic drink. The first soldier then speared the sponge with a dry sprig of hyssop, plucked nearby and held it up to Jesus' cracked lips.
Wait, let's see if Elijah comes to take him down.
I cringed as I watched my Lord accept the pungent offering, imagining how it stung his parched mouth and wounded face. With both of his hands pinned to the wood of the cross, he was helpless to keep the wine from dribbling down his chin and onto his bare chest.
It is finished. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit.
In the silence, one last drop of blood fell from a thorn in his head. And as it hit the ground, the earth shook with a roar. The sun was eclipsed too, and a sudden eerie darkness flooded as far as we could see looking out from that hilltop. Fear and awe came over us all.
This man was the Son of God.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. It's okay to let the heaviness and the grief of this day wash over your heart for a little while. This is the sorrow of our sins and those of the whole world. When we remember the cross, when we think of how greatly Jesus loved us, that he died for us, doesn't it make it harder to think of turning your back on him ever again? Don't you want to approach him in his suffering, like Saint Veronica, and accept his offering of perfect love for you and his total forgiveness? You may have noticed that neither Saint Veronica nor her encounter with Jesus is mentioned at all in Scripture. We know her story as the sixth station of the cross, her miracle passed through generations in sacred tradition. Some speculate that the Saint Veronica we know from Good Friday was the same woman in the Gospels who so trusted Jesus that she was healed by merely touching his clothes. How beautiful to imagine that the pious woman who was cured later met Jesus on his own path of suffering and sought to ease his pain with the touch of her own cloth. Jesus' offering at Calvary alone destroyed death and the effects of our sin forever. But our good God knows that our sufferings in this life, like Veronica's, remains very real. Out of his great compassion, he allows us to unite our suffering to his in an act of redemption for the world. You may have often heard the phrase, "offer it up." Here is what we mean. When we pray, when we offer up our trials in this life, we are uniting ourselves to Jesus' perfect act of love for the world. Jesus' death meant the redemption of mankind. Our suffering can have purpose too. With Jesus, no pain we ever endure will be wasted. Let us pray that we, like Saint Veronica, never miss an opportunity to behold the face of Jesus in our presence, nor miss a chance to offer up a sacrifice for him. Maybe we are aware of his face in the lonely boy or girl at school, or the elderly woman too feeble to leave her nursing home room. Praise God if you behold Jesus' face in the least of these. But pray that you also see him in your family members. See Jesus in your brother, in your sister, and in your parents. See his face in theirs even when you are tired or annoyed or busy or overwhelmed. See him, and you have the chance to be united to him, to help him carry his cross, to clean the tears and dirt from his holy face.